You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hi, and welcome to The Compass, the podcast documenting the struggles of life as an artist. I'm Leah Walsh. Today, my guest is Mackenzie Meehan. She is a wonderful and hilarious actor who I had the pleasure of getting to know when we both did a summer acting program at the Guthrie Theater when we were in grad school. She is such an open-hearted and honest woman, and I really enjoyed our conversation and hearing about her experiences. We ended up having to record this via Skype, which I have never done before, so the audio will sound a little bit different, just to give you a heads up. And there's also a loud banging noise at one point. I think my neighbor decided to hang some pictures next door, so I'll try to edit some of it out, but if you hear that noise, that's what it was. I hope you enjoy the 18th episode of The Compass. So, Mackenzie, what is the dark side for you as an artist, and how do you try to keep away from it?
I've been thinking about this question so much because I know this is how you start your podcast. You know, the dark side, it changes. I graduated in 2009 from grad school, as you know. Mm-hmm. And It changes over the years. I feel like at first when I graduated and I really had a long stretch of not working and I felt like I couldn't get arrested. I mean, it was like, the economy just crashed, so I couldn't even get a Joe job.
We just saw The Big Short yesterday and it made me so angry and depressed. And it took me right back to that time when we graduated in a really personal way. I was so angry.
No, I was watching it too, and I had dreams about it all night, and I was tossing and turning, going, I was personally affected by it. Everyone mm-hmm. in my class was affected by it. My mom was affected by it. It was such a gnarly time to come out of school because it had been such a bountiful time before that, and all of the alums who came out of NYU were, you know, saying, oh, you know, I audition sometimes five times a week or something like that. And
yeah.
that was not our reality. And it's different for every type. It's different for every kind of actor and your representation and all that, I guess, and your type. But, mm-hmm. it was, I think the hardest part was just not even being able to get a job. I mean, I would show up to serving, you know, to try to be a server, and there would be 50, 75 people there. And I had really no experience, and I really just needed to start making money because my student loans were kicking in. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the dark side for me then was just, I need to survive. I need to pay rent. I need to feed myself. And it brought me literally to my knees many, many times. And it just so happened to be this perfect storm of getting bed bugs around the time that I graduated in the dead of winter. And the financial, if anyone's ever had to deal with that, the financial burden of that was so intense. And mm-hmm. I really hated to ask for help from my parents, but I had to because I didn't have a bed to sleep in all of a sudden. And the cost of washing everything and throwing things out. And it was just really hard. And the only thing, I remember this being hysterically funny to me at the time because I was so fried. My friend Kat Wallach, who you obviously know, mm-hmm. she was so kind and offered her home to me. And we had worked out this whole plan of, this was when I had bed bugs and I was, you know, in between trying to get real work and stuff. And she was like, come stay with me. And I said, okay, well, I don't know how we're going to get me into your house and have you feel safe that I don't have bed bugs on me. And so she was like, okay, why don't you in the vestibule, I will have clothes. I will have clothes for you to wear and you will strip down. This was in January, like this time of year. And
is this a big building?
Yes. And to your skivvies. And then we'll have you run upstairs into the bath. We'll take your clothes and put them like outside in a plastic bag. And then I lived in her clothes for like weeks. But it was such a crazy time. And at the time, this, I don't know why I found this so funny, but my mom was like, well, I'd like to really help you get some therapy for this, because I was like, it was so bad, and I just thought it was so funny that she was offering therapy to me, because there was no, nothing else doing.
Maybe that's therapy. A big New York racket, the post-bed bug therapy market.
It was, because it was like, you know, you're looking around at your classmates soaring, some of them around you, and some of them having a really hard time, and there's just no rhyme or reason to any of it. And so what does it actually look like? It looks like a lot of tears, a lot of despair, a lot of doubting whether or not I should be an actor, if I should live in New York. Did I make a mistake? I'm now facing my loans. I have no prospects. So I definitely needed to talk to someone, a professional, about my life. And boy, did that save my life.
Yeah.
I mean, it really did. I don't know if I could have sustained living here. And, you know, just really good friends, really, really solid people in my life who took me in at my lowest and literally fed me and put me in clothes until this whole bed bug disaster was over. And eventually things kind of came around. It was almost like the seasons turned and it was spring, and I finally had booked a Sundance Theater Lab, which was in Massachusetts, and I met who is now my husband, and things just really kind of literally blossomed after that.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember like the cherry blossoms were finally out, and like I was in love, and then that's when things started cooking a little bit. But
what a first year out of school.
It was a hard time.
Jeez.
That was a really hard time. And you know, it still looks like that for me. It still looks like tears and despair and anger and having to have therapy sessions. Mm-hmm. And I will say, you know, in addition to that, doing a lot of yoga and just breathing through it, listening to happy music and being around good people and staying busy, having a purpose outside of being an actor, became another realization later.
Yeah.
That I can't just hold on to that. I need to actually care about other things and think about other things and be other things.
That's something that I think is so complicated, and something I'm always thinking about is, like, of course you're so invested in your career and you want to celebrate when you have good things finally happen, but you always have to temper it with, like, not basing your worth on the times when you know you're not working, and like that making you feel so low. Like, you can't base all of your self-esteem on that. How do you deal with that? Like, if you do have, like, I know you just did this big job for a TV show, like, of course you want to celebrate it, but how do you temper it so it doesn't become I'm not saying this well, but do you understand what I mean?
I totally know what you're saying, Leah. I'm in a dark place right now. You know, I believe in being transparent, and that's what this whole podcast is about, and that's what I like about it, is that we're getting honest here. And my reality at this moment is two things are true. I was lucky enough to shoot, you know, a recurring role on Vinyl, 10 out of 10 episodes. It was a surprise to me that it kept on going, and I had no expectation that that would happen.
When were you actually shooting that? Like, when were you actually getting to do the work? Because I know it's about to start airing.
May of 2015 through October.
Oh, wow.
And we can get into sort of the logistics of what that means, because I'm not a series regular, so it never felt like I had a secure place on that show. It always felt like, okay, well, this is my last show, and I'm going to get fired, obviously, so you know, make it count. So I was lucky enough to have that happen. Concurrently, I was also trying to get pregnant, because I had this realization I guess at the beginning of 2015, that like the key to my happiness is to step on the gas with my life. I can't wait for, you know, the industry to tell me when it's a good time to live my life. I need to just do it, and then the industry will have to work around it. So I was like, you know what? This is something that's really important to me. This feels like the right time. So I find myself now 5 months pregnant, and the show is about to come out, but I have not had one audition since I told my reps.
Really?
That I'm pregnant. And I was told, great, we're happy for you, business as usual, you know, until you are showing and it is like right. really obvious, it's not going to be a problem. And that just hasn't been true. And so it's been a really tough balance for me. So there's, even when yeah. I do get excited about vinyl, I'm still, the reality of my life is I'm an out of work actor mm-hmm. whose unemployment is running out, and I need to figure out a way to feed myself again. So it's like this yeah. weird mirroring of 2010 where I'm now looking for babysitting work mm-hmm. and like a pregnant woman babysitting. It's just, I don't know, there's something really sad about it, but you do what you gotta do.
Yeah.
So life just kind of doesn't let me even get too excited. It always finds a way to humble me. I'm just speaking for myself. Right when I start.
No, I'm laughing because I'm relating.
Like I'm living the dream. Here I am.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah. You know, it knocks me down a few pegs, and that's okay. That's
yeah.
That's my reality, and I'll get through it. But you know,
it's definitely interesting with this type of work, though. That it's like, oh, it's about to start airing, and everyone's. I mean, of course, it'll be exciting that everyone's seeing the work you did, but everyone will be congratulating you, and you're like, that was a long time ago, and I need another job.
Exactly. Yeah. And
yeah.
You know, the show. So being a recurring co-star, which is like under five per episode, means that it's contract by contract, so they don't have to rehire me. So there's just no job security whatsoever. I don't know if I'm going to be in season two. Mm-hmm. I don't know how they're going to deal with my pregnancy or not. So you have to kind of live your life assuming it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
And make other plans. Do you know? I mean, it's sort of like, all right, plan B is going to be this, and plan C will be this. And my New Year's resolution, which is so hard for me, is just to have faith. It's like such a simple idea. But
yeah.
I'm just like, I have to believe somewhere inside that this is all going to make sense and it's all going to work out, because it always does. Historically, right. things do make sense, you know, in retrospect. But at the time, you're just like, why? Why is this happening? And
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and there is no rhyme or reason to it. And we have so little control. What are some ways that you've found to deal with the control issue? Like having agents tell you, or having casting directors tell you if you can even audition for the job? Like, have you found any ways to have projects on your own, or
yes. So
hobbies?
That's like one leg of my go-to place. Like, I have a few things I do to try to get myself out of the hole, I guess you would call it.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is to focus on what I can control. And so, you know, you kind of meditate on what is interesting to me right now. What am I thinking about right now? And, a year and a half ago started a project where I, was interviewing moms about their birthing experience.
Oh, really?
And I'm still trying to figure out how that wants to be told. Is it through a podcast? Is it through a theater piece, kind of a la The Vagina Monologues? Mm-hmm. Is it a documentary style thing? I'm just kind of still letting it reveal itself to me, but
yeah.
I just got really hungry to hear birthing stories and being a mom and what it looks like. And so I have a few of those in the can, so to speak. So I'm still working on it. I think.
Did you record the interviews, or
say that again?
Did you record the interviews, or
I do. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And a lot of them are, you know, via Skype from people I know who live in other parts of the country. But mm-hmm. it was a really, really fulfilling thing for me to do. And so that's one little project I've had going on. Another is as NYU has Studio Tisch, which is this awesome program.
I'm so jealous of that.
it's amazing. And I always am like, I think it's such a gift, and to not take advantage of it is so silly, because we basically have this, you apply for the space and you can work on whatever you want to work on. You can do a play that's been written if you get the rights to it. You can write a play that, you know, you can do a play that you've been working on and put it up. You can.
And that's just in the summer, right?
It's in the summer.
Yeah.
When things are a little slow anyway, and I have found that to be so helpful to start thinking about it this time of year when things are a little slow and when you're kind of vitamin D deficient and depressed and you're like, what do I want to do this summer? So I found Studio Tisch to be a real lifesaver for me to express myself and have it just be pure and about the work. And it's not about reviews or making money or equity weeks. It's just about the love of theater and saying what I want to say.
And being able to have a free space like that is so incredible, because that's money is such a barrier.
It really is.
Even trying to produce your own stuff.
It really is. And so that's something I try to take advantage of whenever possible.
Yeah.
You know, another thing, another survival thing is just like, you got to get your body up. You got to shower every day. You got it. It's simple.
Yeah.
But it's like,
go outside.
Give yourself something to do every day, something meaningful and important. And eating well is so important. Treating your body, taking walks, going to the gym, going to yoga. I mean, it's simple, but getting those endorphins up and having a reason to be is, it's so important, because you could just sit on your couch and watch Netflix all day.
Yeah.
And boy, have I been there, but it just doesn't help.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, therapy is always a great place to go if you're really needing to process some heavy stuff, some life stuff and career stuff. And so that feels like it's always there for me. And I really appreciate having someone I can talk to about the dark stuff.
Yeah. I know, I don't know if you and your husband find this, since he's also an actor, but I know for Frankie and I, like, he's my biggest cheerleader. He's my best agent. He supports me completely, but there's only so many times we can talk about the frustrating things with career stuff. Because he'll get frustrated for me, and, you know, you just can't hash over it so many times with the person that you're sharing your entire life with. So it's helpful for me to talk to my therapist about it too. Just to have someone who's not so close to me, who loves me so much, to stop putting the burden of that on him a little bit.
I totally feel that way, because he might be having a great day and then I just come in and crap all over it. And it's like all of a sudden his responsibility, and yeah, it's not fair. And you do need an objective eye and someone who can give, you know, my therapist has been great at giving me tools to just deal with life's challenges, difficult relationships with family, learning, you know, a lot of it has just been learning how to communicate better, how to say no, especially as a woman, that can be hard. I went through a phase of my acting career where I started to feel like I was playing parts that were, I was getting pigeonholed a little bit, and like maybe feeling like, I don't like where this is going. This was okay for a while, but I don't need to be the sexy, mouthy ball buster. I started to get auditions for things that were like required nudity and, you know, like sexy scenes. And I'm like, I'm a wife and my family's conservative, and this is not going to be the path that I want to go down.
Right.
And I learned how to kind of process that and get in touch with what do I really want, and how does this really feel inside me? Am I saying yes to this audition out of fear because I don't want my agents to be mad at me?
Mm-hmm.
Or am I, you know, so I've been trying to identify what I really want and how to say no and be okay with, I'm not comfortable with that. that used to be true. It's not anymore. That's not who I am. Mm-hmm. I can do more than that. I am more than that. And maybe risking some long bouts of unemployment, but that's just not where I want it to be.
Yeah.
So I've found that those tools have been really, I've learned those in therapy. So thank God for that.
Good. That's so important. I think it's also hard as actors, but maybe even more so as women too. Like, I feel like we're all very empathetic people. Like it's, yeah. It's easy for me to see both sides of a situation and I'll quickly discount my side of it. Cause I'm like, oh, well, I understand why, like, this is bothering me or I'm angry about this, but I totally understand their point of view. And to them, it probably seems like this. And I've been like slowly learning to let go of that, like with some family issues and things where it's like, it's okay that I'm upset by that. That was upsetting.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. And just owning it.
Yeah.
Owning your stuff. It's a lifelong thing.
Yeah.
Recognizing what's your stuff and what's someone else's stuff and not getting wrapped up in that's you. That's not me. That's you. So I'm going to let it go.
Yeah. We're at an age where everyone's thinking about kids if that's something they want. And so that's something that Frankie and I talk about a lot, and it's frightening and scary to make a leap like that, especially when we don't know our long-term employment and financial stuff. I'm so inspired by what you said, that you just wanted to like put the pedal to the metal on your life and not wait around. And I don't know. Do you have anything else you want to say about that decision or how you're feeling now when you're like in the middle of being pregnant and an artist?
Kat, you know, she's one of my best friends and is so supportive, and I've spent many hours on the phone crying to her about like what's happening right now. Why am I being written off?
Right.
I am ready and able to work. Absolutely. I feel totally gypped and I don't know what's going on. And, you know, she reminded me, this is something you wanted and you were willing to make that sacrifice. There are actors out there who would just wait until it felt right. Something just became really clear to me last year, that it was like, there is nothing that could get in my way. It was just a really, my husband and I got in a minor car accident at the beginning of the year.
Ooh.
And she must have been drunk or on drugs or both or something, but this woman rear-ended us, and I had like a minor concussion, and I was just like, you know what? This is a nice nudge from the universe to remind me that this could have been a lot worse.
Mm-hmm.
And we're all living to tell the tale, but I'm just going to make the decision henceforth. Things just got really clear. I don't even know how to describe it, but it was like something lifted, and I was really clear about, I need to put my life first. I am not my career. My career does not define who I am or my worth.
Mm-hmm.
It is something I do for money. And I need to start making decisions for me, for my family, for my well-being, and really getting in touch with that, and under no circumstances making an exception. And it is hard. Like I mentioned earlier, I have had a really slow, hard time of it since telling people that I'm pregnant, but I'm trying to just flip it and see it as an opportunity to read books and take care of myself and take some prenatal yoga classes and take walks every day and feed myself. And, you know, this time in my life is fleeting. This time with my husband where we can just sit on the couch and hang out uninterrupted, this time is going to end very soon. So I'm just trying to see it as an opportunity and a gift, and try not to despair. I mean, a lot of it is like literally side coaching myself.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
when you just know the logical thing and you know what you need to hear. You're just in your thing, but you can step outside of it and say, get a grip. Maybe this is okay. Maybe this is exactly what needs to be happening right now, and you should be grateful for it.
But the fact that you're aware of it is like the biggest step, that you can see that it's emotional or it's irrational, and you can step outside and be like, okay.
Yeah.
I know it feels really bad, but we can do something about this.
Yeah. It's not, you know, every day is not easy, but I do believe that what's made me happier in life is to live my life. You know, and it comes in, it's so simple. It's like I started to say yes to taking trips. I used to be the actor that was like, this is a bad time of year and I might get a call back or I might get an audition for this. And it's just that small adjustment of, you know, my mom and my brother and my niece were going to Disneyland, and she's six, and they were going to be in Disneyland in April of last year. And I was thinking, oh my gosh, that sounds like such a great thing. And that sounds like a once in a lifetime trip. And I want to see Disneyland through my niece's eyes. And I was just like, fuck it. So I booked a ticket and I went to California, and I was like, I never regret spending money on a trip to see my friends. I never regret spending money going home for the holidays and seeing people I love. That is always worth it. And that to me is the like live your life lesson.
Mm-hmm.
And I do feel like the smell of desperation kind of leaves you when you're happier.
Yeah.
And when you're just doing you, you know?
Yeah. But I think you really do have to take that agency for yourself, because no one's going to give it to you. You know, like everybody on the business side of this just assumes that, of course, this is your only priority. Of course, you'll change your plans. Of course, you'll cancel whatever. We were in Florida over the holidays, and Frankie had like a callback for a commercial scheduled for like weeks. It was supposed to be the day after we got back on the calendar. And then 2 days before we were supposed to fly back from Miami, he gets a call and they're like, they want to move it till tomorrow. Can you fly back early? And he's like, well, it's been scheduled for 3 weeks. And I mean, it's not like it's like a role of a lifetime. It was a big commercial, but just a commercial. So it's like, I'll look into it, but really I'm not going to pay to change my flight and miss out on seeing my parents and all this stuff just because they suddenly, like 2 days before, decided to switch the date. And it ended up, he didn't switch it, and we ended up coming back anyway, and they actually did. They were like, we didn't see anyone we liked the callback, so can you still come in the day he was originally scheduled? So, you know, he didn't get it, but it all worked out fine. It was just like, why would you even assume?
They always do. That's the thing, is that you just have to assume they're going to assume you don't have a life and that you're going to just drop everything. And there's something really empowering about saying, nope.
Yeah.
I'm not available. Mm-hmm. These are my book out dates. I'm going. You just don't look back, because at the end of the day, all that matters is that you're living your life with people you love, and I just had to really think a lot about what makes me really happy in life. And it's being with good friends. It's having conversation. It's taking trips and being good to myself. And when I'm good to myself, I feel like the career stuff blossoms a little bit more. And when I'm miserable and in despair and holding on, it's like nothing moves. So I kind of have to trick myself into thinking, or not trick myself, but I have to consciously make a choice to make a different choice, because if you keep doing what you're doing, you'll keep getting what you're getting. Mm-hmm. So make a different choice and see how it goes. So last year was a really big year of growth for me, but mostly because I just started to put my life first.
How does your family relate to your life as an actor? Like your parents?
You know, I've been acting since I was 11.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it started out as just something to throw me in to get a break from the kids or something. And it was a hobby and something I didn't really know I could make a living doing. And so it's just this, been this evolution of like, oh, you're really doing this. You're really doing... My mom's always been really supportive, and my dad has been supportive to a point. He's a doctor, and he's very pragmatic and just worries about, but you don't know where your next paycheck is coming from. And I think it's really scary, and he doesn't understand it. But at this point, he's accepted it. I think, you know, when things, I found that, like, when things are going well, people are really happy for you, and they think, like, okay, like, now you're off. You're flying. You're yeah. there. They don't realize that, like, the plane has to land again, and you don't know when it's going to take off. And
it's a cycle.
I think it's hard for them over the years to see me come home and say I don't have anything going on. I was shooting The Wolf of Wall Street and the next day babysitting all day. Mm-hmm. And I think they just find that to be weird. I think they just don't understand, like, you don't get a promotion. You don't
right.
get a raise in what you pay. You don't. Doing that job didn't mean that you work forever. I think right. it's just so hard to understand. And I don't blame them. It's hard for me to understand. I still am like, what? Why have I chosen this? This is a terrible, terrible profession. And I'm still not convinced that I want to keep doing it.
Yeah. It's especially...
Yeah, I'm very open to the idea of just saying, you know what? I'm done. I was actually I was really on the edge of quitting acting before I booked The Wolf of Wall Street. I was auditioning and I just couldn't book anything. And again, in the winter, it's always a decision. It's a horrible.
The winter is hard. It's hard.
And I talked to a friend and she said, "Well, what would you do if you weren't an actor?" And I said, "I'd probably be a therapist. I love." talking to people and I love mm-hmm. helping my friends and I think I'm a good listener and all that stuff. And so I took a class at NYU Continuing Professional Studies on choosing a career in mental health and counseling. So I was like really kind of doing
oh, cool.
the research to see what that would be. And got into the last class of the session, and that's when I found out I booked The Wolf of Wall Street. It had been a month. I didn't hear anything. There wasn't a callback. I was convinced I didn't get it. And then it happened. And it's just so random.
Right.
It's so frustratingly random. It didn't feel like a particularly good audition.
Mm-hmm.
I walked out and Matt said, "How did it go?" And I laughed. And I was like, "I don't know. I'm not going to get it." So... You can kind of lose your mind if you try to make sense of it.
Yeah. It's kind of, I mean, I've been at that point. I might be at that point again now. I'm always circling that point. But it's always, it's strange how things will pull you back in. You're like, oh, well, now I have this little project in 6 months, so I guess I'll keep going for 6 months at least. And
yeah.
then
yeah.
then I'll see. Then I'll see what other options I have or what I can do. And then something else pops up that keeps you going. Another 5 months or whatever.
I think it's good to think about what else you could do with your life and then try to do it. Try to, you know, during the slow times, maybe pursue something else.
Yeah.
I started, when I planned my wedding, I got really, really into it and thought, this feels just like theater to me. This is
yeah.
putting on a show.
It's an event.
You know? And I, so anyway, long story short, I got myself into working at a wedding venue and loved it, and then started assisting a wedding planner, Melissa
oh, cool.
McNeely, and I just loved it. It really felt like, oh my gosh, I'm firing at all cylinders. I'm directing, and I'm producing, and I'm acting, and I'm doing all these things, and it feels really good to be a part of someone's wedding day. I mean, it's such a happy, for the most part, it's such a happy day, and I feel like I was good at fielding questions and dealing with problems as they came up. And so that has become another sort of passion for me and,
yeah.
and way for me to make money over the past year. And I still sometimes am like, okay, if I quit acting, I will just step on the gas with this
yeah.
and see if that does anything for me doing it, you know, full time.
Mm-hmm. That's great. I didn't realize that you were doing that on the side as well.
I feel like I've worn many hats. I've tried on a lot of different things.
What's that? There's some Dr. Seuss book that's about, I'm just remembering a picture of like a guy with like 100 hats on his head.
That's what actors are. I mean, like, haven't we all had a million different jobs?
And, yeah.
You know, we're recession proof. It's like,
I know. At least we're used to it. At least we're used to the constant search and the constant changing. How is it for you and Matt to be married as two actors? How do you guys experience that?
I think it's pretty awesome to have Livin help with auditions. I mean, just on a, like, you know, it's so incredibly convenient to have someone who understands, like, oh, we had plans tonight and this thing just came in and now I have to devote the evening to working on it, and there's no issue whatsoever. And in fact, it's like, great, let me know if you need help reading it or working on it. I mean, we put each other on tape and we help each other make decisions about, should I go in for this? It's this much money. And, you know, sort of weighing, is it worth it or not? And it's also wonderful to come home from a day of working and be able to share that language and have that shorthand. That's awesome. I love that. I can't even imagine not having that, because it's such a big part of our lives as actors, is just processing through a lot of it. I think it gets hard when you enter this world of, we're going to be parents. And in fact, we were talking this morning, like, what is that going to look like? And am I going to go back to work, and when and how? And, I don't know, again, it just circles back to having faith that he will find employment and I will find employment and we will just figure it out. So at times I'm like, I wish that one of us had something stable.
Right.
I felt that more now than I didn't ever really feel that until now.
Yeah.
And now I just am kind of like, you know what? Maybe we'll have more time to spend with our kid. And we do reach out to a lot of friends who are in our situation or similar situation and just kind of not be shy about asking for help and advice, and people do it. People do it all the time.
Yeah.
And I think my family, like, going back to my family, when I told them I was pregnant, they were like, what are you going to do? How are you going to, okay, cool. Congratulations. I could tell that they were like, how is that going to work?
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, touche. I don't know.
I'll find out. But I'll let you know.
I'll get back to you on that.
Oh, I was going to ask you something else about this. Oh, have you guys ever gotten to, like, work on something together? Were you in the same play when you met at the Sundance thing?
We were. The Sundance Theater Lab is like a 2-week reading, and then it culminates in, like, having one performance of this reading of this new play. So we've worked, you know, we've done, like, little readings here and there. Matt's a writer, so, you know, I'll do a lot of his readings and stuff. It's awesome. I mean, we met in that context, so it feels very natural.
Yeah.
And we're so comfortable with each other's work because we're constantly working on stuff, and yeah, it's fun. I mean, do you and Frankie work together ever?
You know, we've never gotten to do a play together. We've done some little readings and things, but I know it's something we'd both really like to do.
Yeah.
Like, it'd be great to do, like, a Shakespeare play together or something, you know?
Yeah. But yeah, that'd be awesome. We're always sort of looking for opportunities. He's always trying to write something where we could work together, and it hasn't been like the full length play thing yet. Yeah. But
I mean, some people like talk about that and they're like, oh, that would be a disaster. But I think since we met in that context and we're both, like, on the same page, I think we would just have so much fun. I look forward to the day when we get to do a play together.
Maybe not. I don't know. Like, maybe it would be weird, because a part of the thing that makes our relationship work well is that we value having other we have lives outside of each other.
Right.
You know, we have friendships and we have social lives outside of each other, and we don't ask for permission. Oh, is it okay if I go and have a coffee today with so-and-so?
I think that's so important.
Hey, I'm having a lunch with this friend of mine. Cool. Have fun. Bye. So our lives are not super intertwined. So I think that would be interesting to see what it would feel like to work together and then come home and see us talking about it ad nauseum, like all night. That's what would probably get frustrating, is being like, did you think that look that she gave me, like shady, or like, did you feel like, you know, you know how sometimes you can just overanalyze with people? I think that's probably what would happen. I could see that.
Are there any like books or albums that you turn to when you're in the dark place and you need some inspiration, or places you go, or like really tangible things that you hold on to?
I'm a huge, huge proponent of music as a means to getting out of some gnarly headspace. That has always been naturally just where I go if I'm in a bad place. There's certain songs, certain artists that can help me access or just get out of my head, I guess. If I need to be introspective and kind of go to the dark place, which I don't know why you would want to go to the dark place, but sometimes you maybe want to indulge, I'll listen to, like this morning I was listening to Sarah McLachlan. She's just a little bit more emotional, and I don't know, there's just something, like if I want to get myself in the mood to like think about life on a deeper level, just, you know, Tori Amos, Bjork, Sarah McLachlan, my girls. And I love just sometimes going on iTunes and just clicking on artists you might like, or Spotify, and just spending hours just listening to new artists, or listening to, I love listening to podcasts. I mean, that's just a huge pastime for me.
Yeah, me too.
It's actually kind of taken the place of watching TV. Sometimes I'm like, I'd rather just close my eyes and lay on the bed and listen to Radiolab or This American Life or The Compass.
Yeah. It's also gotten me so much more involved with, like, I'm not great at reading the newspaper every day, but
if I can
listen to like a political roundup once a week, it really, and from people really explaining it in a way that I understand, it really it's getting me excited about this election and knowing what's going on.
Me too. I love the Brian Lehrer show on NPR. He's got a show,
I haven't listened to that one.
Like 10 to 11:30 or something like that. And it's on NPR, and I just stream it, and it's just anything on NPR. You could just leave it on all day, and it's all just great shows. And that's another way for me to just, I put it on and I clean the house. You know, cleaning for me is a big outlet. It's just like, it's a way for me to have control and to see immediate results.
I just reorganized like my entire clothing collection the other day and like weeded stuff out, folded things.
Totally. You're
very
like,
satisfied.
Let's do a big purge. And it's just, it feels, that has always like been, just a survival thing for me. I spend so many hours on the phone, just talking to my friends. So many of my friends don't even live in New York City anymore. And I'm just, my love language is quality time. That's how I feel. Mm-hmm. That's how I receive love. That's how I give love. So just doing what we're doing feeds me tremendously. Just having real conversation and sharing is such a big part of my day. Getting on the phone and taking a walk and talking about life and fears and everything that's going on, that's another go-to for me. Like I said, if you're in a bad place, it's like, okay, I need to eat well. I need to get myself out of the house and exercise. I mean, I went through this phase of feeling like I needed to catch up on all these books, and like there were, I felt like, oh, there's so much I haven't read, and there's so much I haven't, there's so much content now. Mm-hmm. And I just kind of took a break from it, and I was like, I'm just going to read whatever I want to read. So right now it's just all about parenting and birthing and sleep training and just anything I can get my hands on. I'm just loving reading about parenting. Just like I gave myself permission to just read what I wanted to read and not feel like I should be reading the latest, you know, Jonathan Franzen novel, for example. And just, you know, I actually read The Happiness Project at the end of last year. Have you read that?
A couple years ago, yeah. I enjoyed it.
That actually really shook things up for me in a really cool way. That was a great self-help book to just kind of get you, I don't know, thinking about, yeah, what are the things I want to work on? And yeah. How would I actually make those things come to fruition? And
yeah, I should read that again.
Yeah, it's the kind of thing where you can pick up and just read again and probably see new things every time. And that was one of the things I actually learned from her, is this author was like, one of my biggest goals was just to be me. And that's okay. And she was looking for a hobby and decided, I don't know what I like to do. That's another thing I'm working on, is like, what is my hobby? Acting used to be my hobby and now it's my career. So What are the things I like to do for fun? And she was like, someone told me the things that you like to do when you were probably 10 or 12, that's probably what it is. Like those things that you enjoyed. And so she was like, well, I used to really love to read children's literature and Harry Potter sort of thing, Lord of the Rings. So she started a book club. And I was like, that's genius. I love that idea. So yeah. I've just been trying to think about, what's my hobby?
It's so easy when you're an actor just to, that takes over your entire life and you go see plays for fun and, you know, everything revolves around it. I think it's true. We kind of get away from those other things. Or maybe maybe it's just what grad school does to you, because you don't have time to do anything else and then you forget.
Yeah. Like, you kind of want to be a well-rounded person.
Yeah.
I mean, I love going to theater. I find myself to be a very critical audience member. I just am looking at the costumes and, oh, that set is distracting to me in this way, or, you know, that's an interesting choice that actor made. I just have a hard time really relaxing.
Sorry, that's my neighbor.
It's okay. I wish I could say theater was like a go-to place for me to get out of the dark place, but it's just not. I think it's mostly like documentaries and films.
I was going to ask, do you find watching like dance or going to concerts more inspiring? Oh, like other art forms more inspiring?
I would say I should see more dance, because every time I see any dance concert, I leave feeling so... I saw Pina Bausch a couple years ago, and I just was filled with inspiration. It was almost like bursting with it, because I have a background in dance too, so there's a part of me that's just like, oh, I'm just living vicariously through these dancers' expression. But, you know, when I go for sort of the film and TV stuff, I really like documentary. I don't have to see acting. I can actually enjoy myself, and I love real people. And I feel like it helps my acting to hear real human speech.
Right.
I think that's why I like podcasts, because I just like the cadence of how people really talk and how incredibly inarticulate we are. You know, we don't sound like we do on scripted TV. We just don't have fully formulated, beautiful, articulate sentences or talk like robots.
Right.
So making a murderer. There's a ton of stuff on HBO Go that they have like a whole documentary section. I've just devoured all of that. But, you know, when the weather's nice, I think a lot of the stuff that I do that's, like, survival mode has to do with the weather being nice.
Yeah.
It's just as simple as going to Prospect Park and reading a book outside.
Yeah.
So I find it really hard to, what do you do in the wintertime?
I bought, it's, winter is terrible for me too.
Did you buy a sad lamp?
Yeah. I need to get it out. I haven't used it yet this winter because actually, you know, winter kind of only happened recently.
That's amazing.
But I'm gonna make myself use it, you know, for like 15 minutes in the morning consistently because I know it's about to get hard. I'm like, okay, well, it's almost through January and then it's only two more months.
I think everybody needs a sad lamp. Everybody needs to take vitamin D supplements. I mean, it really does affect your life. And I think every day Matt and I are like, so we should just move to LA. I mean, we talk about LA every day because in the dead of winter, it's just really hard to, you know, you just feel like there's not a lot of options. There's not a lot of places to go. And I would love to just spend my days on unemployment, just going to museums and stuff. But I live in Crown Heights, and so it's quite a trek for me to get to a lot of the good stuff. And it's not D.C., you know, it's not free either. I think there are free days, but I remember Brittany Bond talking about going to museums, and that always helps me. I just wish I could do it more. I wish I could get it up to actually go to the Whitney.
Yeah.
Or
I talk about it a lot more than I actually go.
Right, but, and it always feels good when you do go. You're always like, oh, I'm making the most of my life, and I'm getting inspired. But I, for some reason, I know that it's out there, and I'm still not doing it.
Right. Well, maybe that can be the next time we hang out. It's because we have a MoMA membership, so you can come with me. I bought it for our first wedding anniversary.
That's genius.
As like the paper gift. And then we renewed it this year because we liked having it, but we need to go more. So we should go do that.
Yeah, I would love to. I love the MoMA. And Brooklyn Museum. I live really close to the Brooklyn Museum. That's awesome. There's this thing called a New York ID.
I saw this and I need to you know, I looked it up once and I think you had to like make an appointment.
Yeah, to get it.
To get it?
I think it's worth it because everyone talks about how you get free memberships to museums for a year.
I need to just do it, but I got intimidated by the fact that I'd actually needed to, like, it felt like I was going to be interviewed or something.
Are you really a New York resident?
But, yeah, I've heard it's good, too.
I think that's probably a good thing to do.
Winter goals.
I don't know. I'm still
figuring winter
it
goals.
Out. I'm still figuring it out. I need help. I need more suggestions.
Yeah, I'm trying to consciously make this winter less painful for myself.
Yeah, how's it going for you?
I mean, so far it's been good. Probably because we went to Florida for, you know, a long time over the holidays. And then now I spoke to someone last week on the podcast about this, but we're like revamping this version of Uncle Vanya that we did a couple years ago.
Awesome.
Just last night, tonight, and tomorrow upstate. So I've had that like 2 weeks of random rehearsals for that. So I've been distracted. So after this weekend, winter's going to hit me full force again, and I need to find more ways. But
I hear you, sister. I just signed up for a work study at a yoga studio.
Oh, cool.
So that's one of my strategies that I've come up with.
Discounted classes or free classes from it?
Free classes. Like 4 hours a week gets you unlimited classes, which is baller because it's so expensive. It's $18 a pop usually.
Is it near your house?
It's pretty close. It's not too bad. I mean, it's like a nice long walk where it's a short subway ride. But, you know, I always feel better when the weather's nice.
Yeah.
I don't struggle that much. I can just kind of think of a million things to do for free that are super easy and fun and make me feel better immediately. These are the times when you really need to have like a toolbox of things to pull. And
do you think, I mean, Frankie and I were going through a phase where we were talking about LA all the time too last year and then, or like 9 months ago. All the time, mostly because of housing prices and the fact that we could have like a yard.
Yep. One of those. mythical things.
But I think we've kind of dropped it because we just reiterated to ourselves that, like, we've lived here for 10 years, and our friends who are our family, we have such a support group here that I don't know if we could leave it, honestly. And now people are starting to have kids. It would be very hard for us to leave those people who are our chosen family. Unless we really, really got an amazing job or something first to go there. But
you know, a lot of our friends are actually fleeing from the city. That's kind of what's put the idea in our head, and really try to take it seriously, because we have, like, my best friends have moved out west, and it is not the answer to your problems. I think it is a complete lateral move in terms of the cost of living when you add two cars, insurance, gas, maintenance. You know, and housing is not that much cheaper in LA from the research I've done. I think Matt's big thing right now is you can do more. You can just go hiking. You can go to the beach. You can take a walk. You can, if you're a person who loves the outdoors and likes to exercise, there's no limitations, really. And that's a big thing. That's kind of becoming a huge thing for us.
It's tempting.
Because it's such a way to instantly feel better all around.
The driving would be hard for me, though. That's something I love about New York, is not having to drive.
You know, what's funny is that I've always loved public transportation, but when I see these women, being pregnant in the city is something else. I mean, it really does change your view of, I mean, you are walking upstairs and you are waiting on your feet, and people at this point don't know I'm pregnant. So I'm not getting seats yet on the subway. And first trimester was a time when I really needed it the most, because I was so sick. I was so nauseous and just needed to sit and breathe with my eyes closed.
Right.
You know, just constantly getting groceries and walking them up flights of stairs. And so then I imagine, like, oh my gosh, a baby attached to me, or a stroller I have to get up the stairs.
Yeah.
That's what's kind of making me really want to consider another lifestyle. I think it, like I said, it's kind of a 50-50. Mm-hmm. You would gain a lot and you'd lose a lot.
It's true.
Because I love theater, and I love my NYU community here and my studio Tisch, and I'm a member of the Actors Company Theater, and they keep me really busy with readings and stuff. And so I'd be leaving a lot behind that actually keeps me fed as an artist. But I would gain an easier lifestyle. And I'm 32, and I'm kind of up for it.
It's on the table.
I've lived my, like, girl's life, you know? I've done that. I've, like, lived with crazy roommates and shared bad apartments and thought it was really cool and sexy, and it totally was at the time. And now I'm like, I just want, like, a backyard space. And, like, you just want nice things, and you want it to be easy.
A little easier.
Yeah.
Totally.
But I'll keep you posted.
Let me know. This is why I love talking about all these questions, because I'm thinking about them too. So I like to see, like you were saying about crowdsourcing information about parenting, like I like to see how everyone else is thinking about it, and to know I'm not the only one. I know we just said that you don't actually get the most out of going to other plays, other people's plays, but is there anything you've seen recently that you want to recommend? And you mentioned a few documentary things, but...
Well, and I don't mean to make it sound like I don't get a lot out of theater. I do. I think it just comes down to when you live in a borough and it's hard to get into... I don't know. There's a lot of excuses I'm coming
up with. It's also expensive.
It comes down to money and being far away.
Yeah.
If I lived in Manhattan Plaza, I would probably be all over it.
Yeah.
But... once the sun goes down and the PJs are on, I'm not going out. So that's just sort of my, like, lazy reality.
Yeah.
I got to see the opening night of Noises Off.
How was it?
It was fantastic. It was so, just a night of fun and laughing and
good.
it's just such a silly play. And I was up, I was watching it thinking I would give anything to be, that's the other thing for me.
Yeah.
This is the other thing. You know what I mean? Is that you're watching a play and all you can think about is how I want to be up there. I want to be doing that. And, you know, you might go through this thing of, why didn't I go in for that? Why didn't I get called in? And it's just, it's hard for me to really release and surrender into the experience. Like I said, I'm just so critical. And the one thing that you can still see in the city that I've seen multiple times that I just find to be so magical and inspirational and freaking fantastic is Fuerza Bruta.
I still have not seen it.
Okay,
Frankie saw it, but I haven't.
And I don't know if it just speaks to me because I love dance and I love loud music, but it is such an incredible experience. And I think you can get affordable tickets on TKTS. And that's something I feel like I always want to just, oh, I need some inspiration. That's something I would always go back and see and happily spend the money, and it would be a magical experience every time. Go see Fuerza Bruta.
Okay, I
like
will.
It might not be here forever, and
yeah. We
probably take it for granted that it's still here, but man, I saw De La Guarda.
Okay.
That was the first show that theater company, I don't remember the name of the theater company that produces that, but that was also an incredible experience.
Yeah, I hear it's amazing. And I love like really, really physical, challenging stuff.
Then you
like
would
that.
Love it. I'm telling you. Okay. That is something that I would highly recommend.
Wonderful.
But unfortunately, I just don't get out that much.
Well, come the spring.
Exactly. And then you'll see me frolicking around at the Temple Gardens and 42nd Street with a child in tow.
Well, on that note, thank you so much for chatting with me today. I feel like we could
talk
all day, but
it's nice
such a pleasure.
Talk about. It's nice to process through.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Compass Podcast. I'm Leah Walsh. More episodes are coming soon. Please look for us on Facebook and iTunes. I'd like to thank the following people for their generosity. The Compass cover art is by Kim Miller, music by Brendan Spieth, audio assistance from Nick Choksi, and a special thanks to Frankie J. Alvarez. See you next time.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.
If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but
yeah.
Not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.